It's a joy to be together. Thank you to Camden and the worship team for just leading us into my sermon that's already been preached through these songs. Thank you so much for that. It was affirming to stand there and say, I am a child of God and I have been set free. And who God, the Lord, has set free is free indeed. That we are free to bask in his presence. We are free to know the joy that the Lord has appointed for each one of us to walk in life and not captivity to sin or the things in this world that hold us down. Before I go any further, I just want to recognize that we have some very special people here today, a lot of special people, but in particular, Jeff and Megan Lithicum and their two sons, but I'm not going to point him out because he's a pastor, and sometimes pastors would just prefer to be incognito, but you can probably figure out who they are, give them a warm welcome. And I especially bring this up because they're from First Mennonite Church in Bern, Indiana, which is Camden's home church, so we owe Jeff and his family a big thank you for preparing a man of God and sending him to us. Thank you for that. Amen. Let's turn to our scripture on Genesis chapter 3 and also in Ephesians 1. If you'd like to turn in the pew Bibles, which are in front of you in the pews. Genesis chapter 3, it's easy, on page 2. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" If you'd also like to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 on page 496. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, for adoption to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Let's pray together. Lord, there are so many voices in this world. We ask you, Lord, to come, reveal what are the false voices that we've been listening to. And we pray, Lord, you would reveal your eternal plan to make us your children, to invite us into fellowship with you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to go deep into our hearts and our minds and reveal truth, correct lies, and bring us, Lord, into fullness, we pray, the fullness of knowing our salvation, of knowing who we are, and Lord, oh God, knowing who you are, and knowing you in your great, great love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So today, our main theme in our series is called Head and Heart. We're focusing on mental health and also identity. Today we're really focusing in on what does it mean to, how do we know who we are? And our main idea is this: if you don't know who you are, then you'll believe anything about yourself. And we certainly see that all around us. People who don't really know who they are, and they're grasping, they're looking, who am I? And there are so many competing voices, and we see all kinds of destructive things happening to people who have been misled. And they're being led into destruction. There was a student in architecture who entered a nationwide contest for building design. The student was judged by a panel of architects, and the student, her design received honorable mention, But she was utterly depressed because she really believed hers was the best, the very best design in the whole group. So on the last day of the convention, she was standing in front of her exhibit, looking at it, contemplating, looking at the other exhibits around and still saying, I know mine is better. There was an old man that was standing next to her, unperceived. But after a while, he remarked and he said, you know what? I really think this one is the best one of the whole lot. He didn't know who this girl was, but she was elated because she recognized the old man as Frank Lloyd Wright, who in 1991 was named by the American Institute of Architects as the greatest American architect of all time. So today we want to ask the question, do you know who you're listening to? Are you hearing the voice of the creator of the universe, the one who created you and looks at you and knows who you are and knows you are his treasure? That he looks on you with favor and says, oh, you are beautiful. You are precious in my sight. I love you so much. I sent my son to die for you. Can we hear the voice of the Father? We look at the example of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they had sinned, they hid from God. They were full of shame. Now, there is some truth here. They had sinned against God, but they didn't know the character of God, that he was loving and forgiving, and they hid in shame. What are the areas of shame that we have in our lives that cause us to hide from God, to cut him off and say, no, Lord, no, I can't go there right now, that cause us to hide from each other, I can't be seen for who I really am? It also causes us to hide from ourselves. You know, I can't deal with that part of me. I'll just close it off. I won't go there. What are these things that shape our identity? We know about psychology lessons. They talk about the inner voices, the voices we heard from our childhood, words that may have been spoken to us by parents or friends or in school. Maybe they said something like, yeah, you'll never amount to anything. Or maybe comparing us to an older brother or sister or a child in another family. If you could only be like that kid. These things stay with us our whole lives. I heard about it from a therapist recently, and he was talking about a young boy that he was counseling. And he said at a summer camp, and he was rather had a big body in his younger life and as a child. And they'd put him, when they showed pictures at the end of the camp, and a picture of him came up, someone yelled out something horrible. And that image stayed with him. And he couldn't go out. He had to close himself off. He couldn't go to a swimming pool. But even though he said there's nothing wrong with his body, he maintained this image of shame. You know, we've all had hurtful experiences. We've all had things said to us that didn't build us up, but tore us down. They're hurtful experiences. Maybe nothing that someone said, but things that happened to us, or even things that we've done to ourselves that convince us, I'm not worthy. Maybe we even have the voice saying, I'm worthless. We have the voices of our culture and our society that say, this is how you should be, and actually you don't measure up. This is what you should look like. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror and like, I know I'm not there. Or they say, this is what you need to be and do in order to be successful. This is what success looks like. We look a lot in ourselves, and this is exacerbated by the society that we live in. And I forget exactly when, but our society switched from being, how can I serve? How can I be what's expected of me into an intensely self-centered focus that says, how can I realize who I am? We become and have become, in a sense, navel gazers, looking inside and saying, how can I fulfill my deepest desires? How can I fulfill whatever I feel like doing in the moment? An intensely individualistic approach to living life. We look inside and say, how can I be all that I can be? Remember that song from the 70s? Be all that you can be. And that's really, really good. But if that is our focus on self, 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 then it ultimately will lead us into bad places. As we talked about last week, we can't trust our hearts. It says in the Bible, our hearts are deceitful above all else. And we are misled. Our phones and AI, they take this further because they loop back to us what our inner self actually wants to hear. We've been hearing about how AI is designed to affirm your opinions and your views, even agreeing with someone who's decided to take their life, that, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Our phones and AI are simply extensions of our own desires, but what if those desires are false and wrong? We need to be careful. We've taken on false identities that are not based on truth, but based on a warped perception of ourselves. So what are some of these warped perceptions? Man, hard thing to say this morning. We have lies about ourselves, that I'm not lovable, that I'm not enough, if only were like someone else. A lie that says I'm all alone. There's no one else that sees me. We have the imposter syndrome that says, yeah, I don't belong here. I don't belong with this group of people. I feel like an outcast. Sometimes we believe that I am fundamentally flawed. There's something wrong with me. There's deceiving lies that we tell ourselves. It says, I can do it on my own, or I'm not qualified for this. God could never use someone like me. We see vulnerability as weakness. Sometimes we hear ourselves saying, what I have to say doesn't matter. The world is out to get me. Or a sense that I need to prove my worth to be loved. Or if I just had this, I'd be happy. We hear lies about our bodies that say I'm ugly. Or it might say that my body is the wrong gender. We're witnessing an alarming and a dangerous trend of transgenderism. I just want to stop here for a moment and ask the question, how do we respond to this as a church? It's all around us. I think the biggest thing is compassion. Gender dysphoria is a very real struggle. And we need to be listening and loving and embracing, no matter what struggles are going on. That when people come into this church body, they know this is a safe place. And I'm loved no matter what. I mean, we're all a bunch of messed up people, isn't it true? We all have things that we'd rather not show here on Sunday morning. But we want to be a body and grow into this where we can take off our masks, be seen for who we are, say, this is it. I've got these struggles in my life, and find people who will sit and listen without judgment and who will love and will model the love of Christ for others. It's sad that sometimes church is a place where people feel like they need to put on a mask. I need to come in, I need to dress a certain way, I need to act a certain way, and I better look like I've got it all together, when in reality, maybe our life's falling apart. Let this be a place where we can come in our brokenness. And I'm thankful, this has been my experience in this church, that this is a church where we feel loved and accepted. And I've heard that from others. They said, people are very real in this church. And I commend you because God is at work. We can also then not emphasize the gender stereotypes from the world that are actually not in the Bible. For example, you are no less a man if you don't watch NFL and don't go hunting, even if you're a vegetarian. No less a man. And we need to give room and space for this with our youth and children to look out for different types and model what is true masculinity according to what the Bible says. You know what? I did a study of this one time, and it said, I found out there are far more examples of men cooking and taking care of children in the Bible than there are women. Look at what the Bible says about what is real masculinity. And let's affirm the values of walking with Jesus, laying down our lives, servanthood, responsibility. Conversely, a woman is no less a woman if she prefers motorbiking to crafts. And I think there's a few other things you could add there. Did I say it right? Lori was helping me with this one. Let's have a welcoming place where everyone is affirmed to be who they were made to be in Christ and not who we think a real person should be. So the answer, now we get to the good part, the answer to all of these questions of identity is we find ourselves in Christ Jesus. The simple truth, we find who we truly are in Jesus. If we look at our other passage in Ephesians chapter 1, starting verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons." Let me just stop right there. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Why does he word the gender word there, sonship? It's because in that culture, in that time, women did not have inheritance rights. So he emphasized, we are adopted to sonship, men and women, sons and daughters of our Almighty God, and we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything that God has appointed, every good blessing has been determined, predestined, and appointed for you. And there's no exceptions here. There's none of us can say, yeah, but, yeah, me, with all my issues and all my problems. It says it's by grace. In other words, it's freely given. This stamp of approval or this certificate of adoption that says, you are mine. And I have all things for you that I want to share. I want to pour out my love upon you. I want to pour out my abundant life. Every treasure that you can think of, I want to pour it out on you so you can live abundantly for me and then into eternal life. This is your destiny in Christ. But how many of us are stuck in spiritual poverty, not really knowing who we are, not living in to the identity that is ours in Christ, that we can reach out for and receive? We need to realize that God has the blueprint or the design for our lives, for our true selves. And when we turn everything over to him, when we say, yes, Jesus, I want you to come and take the wheel of my life. I'm tired of trying to drive my own car. I'm tired of trying to find my own way, and I need you to come and take charge. When we submit to his lordship in every area of our lives, he comes and he restores us to be who we were designed to be, our true selves. Now, I always didn't feel that way in the church. I remember growing up in youth group and just feeling like, I can't be myself here. I felt confined. And for a while, I felt like I need to be around people in the world. That's where I can truly be myself. But after a while, I saw this is not it. And thankfully, I found myself in a group of Christians that I'm like, man, these people are actually pretty cool. Or maybe not cool in the eyes of the world, but I like them. I'd like to be more like them, and I don't want to be like the other people that I've gotten to know. Although there was good qualities in them too, but God revealed to me that he is the answer to my search to be free, to be who I am. Now, this calling to give up ourselves to Jesus is not easy. In fact, it's the complete opposite of everything that we're taught in this world. In this world, it says, look to yourself. Jesus said, come to me and die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It says in Luke chapter 9, then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. instead of focusing on ourselves, as we focus on knowing and loving Jesus through trials, through difficulties, but as we're walking with him, as we look at him, he reflects back his own image to us, and we become more and more like him. We walk more and more into the freedom and life that he has appointed for us. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 22, "Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Can we take that old person, cast it off, and say, "Yes, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you to give me a new life, that I will be like you, that you will make me righteous, and you are making me holy by the blood of Jesus. I am made holy even right now. I am made new." So these scriptures that we're looking at now, they're powerful scriptures that will transform our perception of ourselves and our understanding of God if we apply them. We build truth through the Word of God. We need to understand who we are, but we also need to understand who God is, and that's a whole other sermon. Is understanding, yes, that God is loving and kind and faithful. Sometimes the experience in this world have also warped what it's like, what we feel God is like. But God has given us his precious gift of his word, which is powerful, full of life. It reveals truth that corrects the lies in our lives. And it brings light that dispels darkness and shows us the way to go. This is why here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church, we emphasize the Word of God a lot. This is why we have pew Bibles. This is why we have our 3-1-1 challenge groups, Bible studies for men and for women and small groups, Next Steps courses. We want to be immersed in the Word of God and then learn how we can dwell in the Word of God every day. That we spend time allowing God to bring his Holy Spirit into his word, that then it transforms our perception of ourselves and reveals what the Father is like. And that God is faithful to do that, but we need to do our part by dwelling in his word. Here are some scriptures I'd like you to take with you today. As they come up on the screen, you might even want to take your phone and just take a snapshot of them. And you go through them throughout the week and meditate on these scriptures. Lord, bring this truth into my life. The first one is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And when you read that verse, he gave himself for me. Not just in general for the world, but for you. Wow. Let's go on then to Romans chapter 8. And there's two passages here you'll see in the slides. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And in him we cry, Abba, Father." Do you know what that word Abba means? In the Aramaic, it means daddy. It's the affectionate term for our dads. Oh, Papa God. I've heard people address God in that way. Abba, Father, that we know who we are. Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So meditate on this verse. You are an heir, a full heir of everything that God has for you. If we're struggling with loving ourselves and accepting our bodies, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, from Psalm 139. "I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And I know that full well. So do you realize when you say that verse out loud, and you say your works are wonderful, you're saying this work that you have made is wonderful. Wonderful. It is beautiful. Lovely. And I'm worthy of being loved, and I have love to give in this world, and I can go out confidently. If we're struggling with confidence, then we can claim Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Last night, I was spending some time getting ready, and yesterday for the sermon, of course, all throughout the week. But I don't know about you, but when it comes to something like this, like preaching, I don't automatically on Monday morning wake up and say, ah, wow, this Sunday sermon, I know it's going to be a zinger. I know it's going to be really good. Usually I start off by saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh, how am I going to preach a sermon? Who am I? Who am I to preach a sermon to this group of people? You know, there are so many good preachers out there. I probably don't compare. You know how it goes. These voices are there. But yesterday when I read these passages, I just had to, in myself, say, I am fully equipped for God, what God wants to do. And it's not me, it's because of his grace. And he is fully able to bring a good sermon, not just a good sermon, but to speak to the hearts of the people through me because I've made myself available. I've confessed my sins. And it's all about him. It's not about me or my capabilities. Therefore, yes, I look forward to it. And I believe, God, you are with me. And you will speak, and I pray that he is. In him, then, we are redeemed, and we are healed, and we're restored. If you still have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. This word redeemed, it's so powerful. Because we can know that God has, he not only receives us as his sons, but he redeems us. The price has been paid. And he takes everything in our lives, all of our mistakes, everything we've done wrong, he redeems. And he's able to even make things better than they would have been if we hadn't messed up. We can all look back and see the failures, see the areas where I wish I'd done that differently. We can look at places where we've caused damage to others, where we've failed, where we've done lots of mistakes. God redeems us. He wipes that slate clean. But he even takes then these things in our lives, he redeems them to be something beautiful. Another verse we can hang on to is Isaiah 34:1 that says, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. This is the word of the Lord. You belong to the Father. You've given your life to him. And if you have not, this is your opportunity to say, Lord, I give you everything. I ask you to take that wheel, take the steering wheel of my life. Hear the voice of the Father, the Creator, the greatest authority. The greatest architect in all the universe is speaking to you and saying, you are wonderful. You are my creation, and I long for fellowship with you. Will you come to me as you are, and let me do the work in your life? Let me restore who you are. Let me make your life beautiful again. This is God's promise, and he is faithful. Let's pray together.